I hope you had a tremendous weekend. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. And this program is brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. Lots to get done. A very busy first hour, so let's not waste any time with it. Telephone number is. I give it to you every single day. Let me hit it again right now. I would love to see a good phone call or two to set this thing up. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. You know this by now, right? Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveTake.com. Know this. I've got back-to-back interviews in the first hour. Coming up next segment, we are talking Buffalo Bills football. Bills Mafia, where are you? 3-0 and a showdown with the Pats coming up next. Jordan Poyer, Bills safety, joins me in about 15 minutes. Coming up at 40 past, Jeffrey Chidiha, who is an NFL.com senior columnist. Then in hour number two, we talk some college football. Pete Thamel is a reporter for Yahoo Sports. So a ton of NFL, a ton of college football. I've got some Major League Baseball coming down the stretch and much, much more. You have your phone number. You know to follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can also email me, too, if that's what you want to do. Get up in here. Let's start with the NFL weekend. Three games into the season, and to me, that's almost enough time to draw some conclusions about teams. In fact, almost enough time to draw conclusions about life itself. What do I mean by that? I did tweet yesterday that the NFL is a hell of a lot better when the Buffalo Bills are undefeated. Hell, life overall is a hell of a lot better when the Buffalo Bills are undefeated, and they are. And again, the Patriots are coming in next. And no, I am not going to get all caught up in how many times the Bills have started fast, only to have the Bills Mafia have its collective soul snatched later in the year. I know about that. I don't care about that. I'm looking forward, not back. And the Bills are 3-0 if you need them, and we all do. More on that in a minute. Jordan Poyer joins me at 20 past. Now, the Bills are not the only ones who are unbeaten. So are New England and Kansas City, which everybody saw coming. So is Green Bay and Dallas, which you may have seen coming. But so is Detroit, which nobody saw coming. Meanwhile, the Jets' offense is brutal. It's atrocious. It's infuriating, which everybody saw coming. I just thought that I would be the one calling them that and not their own head coach. But it was crazy eyes Adam Gase killing his team, so I didn't have to. You're right, eyes. Your offense is brutal. It is atrocious. It is infuriating. But you're the alleged mastermind. So instead of telling us something that we already know, do something about it. After all, you are the smartest guy in the league, right? Just ask you. And as good as that is, the Jets head coach and so-called offensive wizard calling his own offense atrocious was not even the best quote of the weekend. Not even close, in fact. Because after Denver lost, again, to drop to 0-3, Broncos wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders dropped the quote of the day. Maybe the quote of the week. Actually, the quote of the month and the year in the NFL.
Times are rough around here. You know, obviously, the past 3 years, it's been tough, you know. So, trying to get it right. Right now, it's in 0-3. Living in a world of suck.
Living in a world of suck.
Living in a world of suck.
There you go. Living in a world of suck. Go ahead and print up the t-shirts. Carve that into some marble. Shut it down. Let's go home. I don't think anybody's going to beat living in a world of suck for the quote of the year in the NFL.
Living in a world of suck.
Because that's the absolute perfect description of what it feels like to be 0-3 and struggling. We're sitting here at 0-3, man. We are living in a world of suck.
Living in a world of suck.
Like, hey, man, nice to meet you. Where do you live? In a world of suck?
Living
How about
in a world
you?
Of suck.
Unbelievable quote. But maybe the most surprising moment of the weekend came in the Giants-Bucks game. And I am not talking about Daniel Jones doing this.
Jones takes the snap, back to throw, steps up, he's going to run. Jones to the 5, touchdown Giants! Daniel Jones on a 7-yard run on a 4th and 5 from the 7. And the Giants have tied it up with 1:16 to go.
Giants radio, tip of the hat. That's pretty cool. And it did get them a win after an enormous second-half comeback. Awesome, right? But the thing that really shocked his teammates was what he did in the second quarter. According to receiver Russell Shepard, Jones came into the huddle and, quote, he started cussing. And we were like, wow, I didn't know DJ could cuss, end quote. Shepard told Newsday that the Giants were still trying to, quote, figure out Jones, but that him coming into the huddle and dropping F-bombs was a great start. Quote, he's like the world's most mysterious man. He's laid back. He doesn't say too much. I've heard him say some things, but I've never heard him cuss before. It was an expletive, and I loved it. I'm a big cusser, and I was pretty impressed. End of quote. Listen, the guy looked great. The guy did look great. I'm not going to crown Daniel Jones just yet, but that's how you win over the huddle and the locker room, by leading from the front with F-bombs and then going out and making huge plays. Plays that Eli Manning could never make at this juncture of his career. You know, and nothing against Manning. The guy won 2 Super Bowls, right? I'm not going to crown Jones, but Jones can just do things that Manning couldn't do in his prime. But I'm not going to crown him. It's one game, a really good game, but it's only one game. But as far as Jones having even less of a personality than Manning, apparently he got that all twisted. You think he's Eli 2.0? Turns out Jones is fraternity flag football guy 2.0. You know, get W's and drop F's is the Daniel Jones way.
We decide what the f*** goes, who goes, and when we win, and when we f*** lose, which is f*** never.
So they find a way to come from behind and win that game, even though Tampa Bay could have won it with a kick late. They didn't. But let's be real. Let's be real and let's be honest. Everything that happened in the 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. kickoffs was just a warm-up for Sunday Night Football. All those other games were the appetizers. Rams, Browns, the main course, the defending NFC champions versus America's team in America's city. Now, again, to be real, that was not the best game I've ever seen. LA's 20-13 win was not pretty, but it did have some moments. Moments like Cooper Kupp doing this.
Goff in the gun. Browns rush 5. Now drop one more. They throw it to the end zone. It is caught for a touchdown. Cooper Kupp running along the goal line from right to left and just tiptoes in that near left sideline to score 6.
That's Westwood 1. Cooper Kupp, I should say, doing this. And Cooper Kupp doing that.
Rams throwing for the end zone. Kupp's got it, and he walks in for the touchdown. Untouched across the face of the end zone from right to left, and the Rams take a 16-13 lead.
That was just too easy. Way too easy. And maybe you've been sleeping on Cooper Kupp, but if so, that's on you. And you should stop doing it immediately, because we're talking back-to-back games with more than 100 receiving yards. The ACL is better, and the Rams' offense is completely different with that guy in it. As for the Browns, their offense was not completely different from what it's been in the first couple of games. In short, Baker Mayfield and his elite receivers had their moments, but there were other moments, in fact, lots of them, where the offense was sort of a mess. Cleveland's defense has made some big plays, especially given everybody that they were missing in the secondary, but the offense never got clicking consistently, and it kept committing penalties, and there were some really weird play calls, really strange play calls, calls that Freddie Kitchens completely owned after that game, you know, like not running the ball on the final 4 plays inside the Rams 5.
Freddie, when you get down to the 5, can you just explain the process of why you didn't run at least once?
I should have run it once. Should have run it 3 times.
So why didn't you?
I just didn't.
If you're saying that after a game that you realize you should have called run
plays
there.
I was being facetious. I should have run it 1 time. I should have. That's what I'm kicking myself in the ass for right now.
Now that's how you own it. And he owned this play from earlier in the quarter as well.
4th down and 9. Let's see what they're going to do. I don't see the punter coming out, and they're going to keep the offense out. Here they come. They're coming up on 4th down and 9. Mayfield calling the play. Play clock down to 6. Down to 5. Are they going to snap it? Down to 4. Yes, they are. And they're going to run it. And Chubb takes it over the right side to the 40, and he got hit at the 39-yard line. Yikes. Yeah. And the crowd hates that call.
Browns radio. Man, yikes is right. And the crowd did hate that call. And Freddie's assessment of that play call was probably the same as yours.
What happened on the 4th and 9 play call?
Bad call.
Did you want that play call?
Yes, I wanted that play call.
What was your thinking on that?
It just didn't work. It was a bad call.
I'm telling you, I mean, you don't like the result if you're a Browns fan, but that's why he's America's coach. Because those were bad calls, and because he's standing up there and owning it. What happened? Bad call. Did you want that call? Yes, I did want that call. It just didn't work. Bad call. That's on me. So his team went toe-to-toe with the NFC champs. They didn't play as well as they would have liked, and yet they still had a chance to rip it. That's not making me want to abandon them. That's making me appreciate it even more. And so should you. So what I'm saying is, I'm not jumping off that bandwagon. I didn't after they got punched in the face by the Titans in the opener, and I'm not right now. Odell Beckham Jr. said this after the game.
I don't want to give an excuse that we're a young team and we're fresh and new together, but we're still trying to find ourselves and find our identity and find, you know, like I said, this Rams team has been together. They know what plays, when, this, that. It's just what they've done. They didn't get to the Super Bowl by luck, you know. So, like I said, we're going to put it all together. We're just finding the pieces right now. And I feel like once we discover exactly who we are in this team and everyone knows exactly who we are, we'll be able to close games like that.
I like that. I agree with that. That's reasonable. There's no panic. Once again, I'm not going to abandon that crew. Not even close. That wagon was not built in a day, and it's not going to get destroyed in a day either. They do have a lot of new faces. They are finding themselves in their identity. You don't clinch a playoff spot in September. It's about the long haul. Furthermore, this is not about the Browns losing. It's about the Rams winning. It's about L.A. going on the road in prime time and finding a way to grind out a win in a hostile environment. To quote one Philip Douglas Jackson, give them some freaking credit. I mean, for real.
Give them some credit. I mean, for real.
It's a good win for the Rams. And speaking of giving somebody credit, not that this guy's ever looking for credit, Aaron Donald. How about some more love for Aaron Donald? Get to that a little bit later on. Hey, Rome. Email number one. Hey, Rome. Freddie Kitchens is like the NBA player who raises his hand after committing a flagrant foul. We know it was you. Jeremiah in Greenville. Yeah, but the other guys are looking around like, whoa, I didn't do anything. I didn't touch him. Yeah, I mean, he's doing the right thing. Yes, he's raising his hand.
Bad call.
I don't see Bill Belichick raising his hand. I'll have that take for you later on. Mark in Hollywood tweets, was so ready to crack America's team today, but seeing as how the Eagles have a collective case of diarrhea, I'll hang back for now. Yeah, Mark, so does Michigan. I would hang way back for now, Mark. At SA Sports Honk tweets, Rome, I think a draw play on 4th and long was a genius play call. Sincerely, Bruce Arians intentionally taking a delay of game penalty before a potential game-winning field goal.
Bad call.
That was kind of unique too, wasn't it? And you know I love Bruce Arians. That was a strange explanation after that kick. All right, so that's just kind of a recap of some of what happened over the weekend. I do want to talk more about Aaron Donald. I definitely want to talk about the Pats and Bill Belichick and how they handled Antonio Brown and where we go from here. Just know that's more about the Pats than it is Antonio Brown. Like, we already know who and what Antonio Brown is. I got to get out. I've got Jordan Poyer coming up next. Dell has got something extra for small businesses. Up to 45% off during their semi-annual sale. It is a perfect time to update to Windows 10. With huge deals on business computers featuring Intel Core processors and free shipping on everything. Call small business technology advisors who can help you achieve your business goals affordably with low monthly payments on the right tech for you. Just call 877-BUY-DELL, 877-BUY-DELL, or visit dell.com/businessdeals for semi-annual sales savings.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Right off the top, I recap the entire NFL weekend. And now we keep right on rolling. We are talking Bills football. I'm joined by safety for the Buffalo Bills. He is coming off an enormous game. 12 tackles, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery in yesterday's win over Cincinnati. For the season, 22 tackles, a sack, and an interception. He was an All-American at Oregon State. The 218th pick overall in 2013. The Bills are 3-0 for the first time since 2011, and there is a huge one Sunday at home against New England. It is a CBS game, 1 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by Jordan Poyer. Jordan, nice to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. How are you doing?
Good, Jordan. Good to have you back. What's it like to wake up on a victory Monday knowing that you're 3-0? How is life for you right about now?
No, it's exciting, man. Anytime you get a win on Sunday, it's exciting to come in the building on Mondays and enjoy it. You know, obviously, you know, a huge one this coming weekend, but you definitely want to enjoy the tough ones when they come by.
No doubt. So going back to yesterday, Jordan, the team won the first two games on the road, then you come back home and you play in front of your fans for the first time. How would you describe the atmosphere in Buffalo yesterday?
Yeah, it was electric, man. You know, the fans were excited just as much as we were to come out and play at home, and to see them come out and show out to a sold out game, and to hear them from the first whistle to the last whistle loud. It was very electric, and it was a fun atmosphere to play in.
Jordan Poyer joining us. You know, late in the game when you guys were down 17-14, Josh Allen hit tight end Dawson Knox, and then Knox just started to hit Bengal players. He was trucking one dude after another. It was amazing. Micah Hyde said, quote, "When you're a defense and you see that stuff coming from the offense, I think everybody jumped off the bench and was excited. The crowd went wild," end quote. So what was your reaction to that play, and how much did that fire you up?
Yeah, man, I think exactly what you said. You know, I think our whole team jumped off the bench on the sideline, and I mean, dang, they almost ran on the field. You know, I think we almost could have got a penalty for you know, how excited we were for that play right there. You know, it was a huge play, one in the game, and for it to happen like that, you know, to stiff arm one dude and then chuck another dude and get the first down for us, you know, it was huge for us. It was a huge momentum swing, and, you know, it gave us a little bit more juice to come back and win the game.
The craziest thing is I'm sitting there in my living room in California, and I felt the same way, and I had nothing to do with anything, man. When dude put his head down and finished that run the way he did, I thought that was amazing. And then when you talk about finishing runs, how about Frank Gore? He finishes off that drive to give you the lead, and then the defense finishes it off when Tre'Davious White has that interception. You had told him in the second half that he was going to make that play or a play that changed the game. What did you see that made you feel that way, and how pleased were you with the way he delivered?
You know, Tre'Davious one, he's a great player, and he had already had a pick in the game, and you know, I always feel the interceptions come in waves, and you know, I just felt, you know, that he was going to get another one, he was going to get another opportunity. You know, the offense had to put the ball in the air, and you know, he was going to get an opportunity to make a play on the ball. So I remember I told him, I looked at, hey, you're going to make a play to get to change the game, just keep playing. And you know, fortunately, you know, he had a play. I mean, he had a tip ball came to him, and he sealed the game for us. So I'm real happy for him. I'm real happy for this team, and you know, just want to continue to believe in each other and continue fighting for each other.
Jordan Poyer joining us. You know, Jordan, it's early, but you've been around the league a while. When you look around the talent that you have on that defense, is it the best defense that you've played on?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I mean, I was in Cleveland for 4 years, and we weren't very good out there during that time area. And you know, being out here for this is now my third year out here. You know, we had some really good defenses out here, but, you know, this is our third year in this system. A lot of the guys third year in this system, and, you know, some guys second year in the system. And I think, you know, just being in the system with all these guys the same amount of years, you know, just the way we're able to communicate and able to talk to each other, watching film and on the football field, you know, it's a fun group to be a part of. And, you know, I think we understand that, you know, we can be a really elite defense. And if we just keep working, continue to put the work in, and we have the right guys to do it.
All right, so obviously part of that is the talent. Part of that's the consistency within the system that you mentioned. But how much of this unit being as good as it is about the relationships and the brotherhood that you guys have, and how much of those bonds show up on the field?
Yeah, you know, I think those, that's just as important. You know, guys, we're always hanging out. I mean, one, we're in Buffalo, New York. You know, it's an amazing city, but you know, there's not a whole lot to do out here in Buffalo, New York, other than hang out with each other off the football field. You know, we're always You know, every Thursday the DBs are going to dinner somewhere, and you know, we're always Jerry Hughes is always having people over at his house, you know, watching the Thursday night games or the Monday night games or whatever it is. You know, we're always hanging out with each other off the field, and I definitely think that translates over on the field. It, you know, it brings that environment. You know, coming to work each day. You know, you're not coming to work with your, you know, your coworker. You come to work with your buddy. You know, you come to work with somebody that you respect, somebody that you enjoy being around. And so, you know, it's a culture that Sean, you know, our head coach, has brought here to Buffalo that we just want to continue to build. And, you know, I think that definitely translates over on the field. You know, and in the fourth quarter when times are hard, you know, you're not looking at just your teammate. You're looking at your brother. You want to fight for your brother. So, you know, it's been a fun, you know, 3 years that I've been here. You know, this has definitely been the best defense that I've been on. You know, we just want to continue to build that.
Jordan Poyer joining me for a few more moments. You mentioned the fourth quarter. It seems to me like as a defense, you guys talk about calm breeds calm. I like that line quite a bit, and I would imagine, especially in the fourth quarter, it's critical. What does that exactly mean, calm meets calm, especially as it relates to the relationship between the offense and the defense?
You know, you look at a sudden change in the game, you know, something bad happens, you know, and the defense, you know, I'm just giving an example. The defense has to go out there and, you know, make a stop. The defense has to go out there and win the game. Like, for example, yesterday, the defense has to go out there and win the game. And nobody blinked, you know. Nobody on the defensive side blinked. Nobody was, you know, looking scared out there. It was just like it was another time of us going out there and doing what we have to do. You know, it was nothing more, nothing less. Like, hey, let's go out there and let's end this game. Nothing more, nothing less. And that's exactly what we did. And, you know, it just shows that the mental toughness that our team has, that the guys in the locker room, you know, show out there on Sundays. And like I said, it's a fun group to be a part of.
All right, so before I let you go, you got a whole week to get ready for it. But you've got the Patriots coming up on Sunday in your place. When you're facing Tom Brady and you're facing that offense, what is the biggest key to stopping them?
Man, you know, gonna have to study all week, you know. They do a lot of really good things. Obviously, Tom has full control of that offense. You know, he has some weapons on that side of the ball that he can get the ball to. But I think, obviously, you know, main thing, you got to stop the run. You got to be able to affect, you know, to be able to affect Tom, be able to get him off the spot, and being able to take the ball away. We got to be able to take the ball away and hopefully, you know, not just take the ball away, but score, maybe change the dynamic of the game. And, you know, I think that's going to be the main keys.
Jordan, finally, going back to the Mafia, the Bills Mafia, for one thing. It was out in force yesterday. What kind of noise are you expecting from that crowd on Sunday when an undefeated Patriots team comes in to play an undefeated Bills team?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be electric, man. It's going to be electric. It's going to be one for the books. Definitely a great opportunity for this football team to go out there and show that we can play with the elite, you know, because obviously that's a really good football team in New England, and they're coming to Buffalo, and, you know, we want to show them, you know, who we are. So we're going to prepare all week and get ready for this football game, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. So hope everybody tunes in.
And I would imagine your mindset's got to be, not only do we have to deal with them, but they've got to deal with us, and they've got to deal with us in our own house. Buffalo is 3-0 for the first time since 2011. Jordan Poyer coming off a huge game. Jordan, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for making time on this Victory Monday. Really nice to get caught up with you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jim. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it, bud. Thank you very much, and I do appreciate you making time. Jordan Poyer, Bills safety, again, 12 tackles, forced fumble for one fumble recovery as well. Listen, the Pats are the Pats. We know this, but there's something to be said. The Bills are 3-0. They've got that game at home. And that's something to be said is the Pats are going to have to deal with them just as they have to deal with the Pats. And that's the mindset you have to have, and I guarantee the Bills have it. I know the Mafia has that mindset. The Mafia's mindset is not only do they have to deal with the guys on the field, they have to deal with us. And the Mafia was out in force for the Bengals. What do you think they're going to be like when an undefeated Patriots team comes into town? It's going to be a big week in Buffalo. Can't wait for it. And that's how I feel about the Mafia and about the Bills. Did we start this show off with the Bills interview on Monday? A Victory Monday for y'all, Buffalo. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so if you're on hold, stay there. When we come back, we'll talk some more NFL. Jeffrey Chidiha is going to join me next. Do you love football? Do you live for Monday nights? Do you love Jack? Then you better get with the program and get down to Hooters to catch the game and play some Monday night money ball. Every week, You're just a few questions away from a chance of making some serious money. You can win cash prizes and free Hooters food and drinks. It is so easy to play. You know, it kind of works like making prop picks. Who's going to win? It might be you. It could not get any easier, and it is free to play. Listen, you love wings. You love ice cold beer. And who doesn't love the world-famous Hooters girls? So there is no better place to get your sports fix. And now you can get in on the action. If you've got game, head to Hooters and watch all the games. Eat, drink, and play for all the marbles with Hooters. Monday Night Moneyball. It only happens at your local Hooters and HootersMoneyball.com. Register now. Then head to Hooters for every game all season.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
My thanks to Jordan Poyer. Really quickly, I do owe Mark in Hollywood a quick apology. I mentioned that he was a Michigan man. He said, whoa, hold up now. Don't ever say that about me. I went to Penn State. Fair enough. All right, Mark, sorry about that. You're right. My bad. All right, so we're joined right now. We keep moving right through it. If you're on hold, you want to stay there. I've got time for your phone calls on the back end. We are joined right now by an NFL.com senior columnist. He is an NFL Network on-air talent. He is a Sports Emmy Award winner. He is a friend of the program. He is Jeffrey Chidiha. Jeff, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Jim?
Good, man. Good. Great to have you back. So you were in Kansas City yesterday for the Ravens-Chiefs game. Pat Mahomes goes 27-37, 374 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, and it was his lowest yardage of the season. Jeff, how insane is that a performance like that is actually one of his worst statistical games of the year?
Well, it's scary what's happening in Kansas City with him right now, Jim, and I almost feel like he's transcending the sport. It's to compare him to other quarterbacks now, it almost seems futile because you look at what's happening with the NFL with Drew Brees going down, Roethlisberger going down, Aaron Rodgers isn't playing the same level, Tom Brady isn't at the same level. I feel like this is like Wayne Gretzky coming in the NHL now. It's like Sandy Koufax in baseball. It's like Michael Jordan taking off. It's that level of superstardom because what he's doing is insane because this week he came against a really good defense. And he's making it look easy. So to me, it's like he's just starting his career, and he looks like a guy who's already a legend.
Jeffrey Chidiha joining us. I mean, those are really strong statements, and I agree with you. He not only did it against a defense that's a really good defense, but it was a defense that gave him trouble last year. I mean, Jeff, the fact that this is only his 20th regular season game of his career, how do you explain that he's doing what he's doing so early in his career?
Well, it's interesting because he drew a lot of comparisons to Brett Favre when he came out of school because of the way he played, running around, you know, freewheeling, the big arm. From the first day I watched him, he always seemed like Joe Montana, like a more athletic version of Joe Montana because of his mind, his vision, the things that we don't talk enough about, the way he's able to be disciplined. And when you talk about the fact that this is a guy who last year was the best quarterback throwing from the pocket, people tend to underestimate that part of his game because he is such a highlight machine, but he really can cut you up any way you want to be cut up. And I thought the best part about the game yesterday was the way it ended. And the fact that 3rd and 9, you know, they want to run some clock. They call a screenplay that he wanted to run from the game plan meeting the night before, and they executed it. 3rd and 9, got 16 yards, but he wasn't trying to make a highlight throw. He wanted to do an efficient play, get the first down, get the win. So that shows you how he's growing.
Jeffrey Chidiha joining us. You know, we know he's got all these crazy tools, but it's the intangibles too. For instance, there's no doubt that he's got weapons around him, but he's doing it despite the fact that multiple players on that offense have been banged up. And as one teammate told you, quote, he always looks super confident no matter who's out there. He trusts everybody and we're trusting him, end quote. So what does that say about Mahomes as a leader?
Well, he's next level now. And that to me is what also, you know, really stood out was the fact that last year when they lost Kareem Hunt, you saw the offense take a dip. Last year when Sammy Watkins got hurt, you saw the offense be affected. They were still putting up numbers, but it wasn't as prolific as it was before. Now when he's taking those hits to the offense, he's raising the game with the people around him. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson has been a backup who's done relatively nothing in Kansas City for the first 4 years of his career. Looks like a guy who's going to get paid a lot of money in free agency this coming year. Mecole Hardman was a raw athlete who couldn't really run routes when they got him. He's going down the field like he's Cliff Branch every week now. It's the guy can make other players better, And I think just that, you know, again, the arm is real. All the physical talent is legit. But you talk to guys in that locker room, they feel like this guy has a resolve, I guess a understated leadership ability about him that makes everybody feel like when he's in the room, they're going to win.
Jeffrey Chadiha is joining us. What about the relationship, Jeff, that he has with Andy Reid? Like, we know what kind of work Andy Reid's done with lots of different quarterbacks. How much has that relationship between the two of them changed from last year to where it is right now?
I tell you, every time I see Andy Reid walk into a press conference now, it's like Thanksgiving. Like, he's got a big spread in front of him. He's ready to go eat.
Right.
He's feeling good about life because he knows whatever he's calling with this kid, whatever he's running, it's going to work. And you go back to when he first met Patrick Mahomes, when they were interviewing him before the draft, you know, Brett Beach brought him into his office, and Andy spent 6 hours talking to the kid, going over X's and O's. And back then, he wasn't, you know, a high-profile, big-name guy. Just yet. Deshaun Watson was the guy people thought they would take. But when he came out of that meeting, Andy Reid went up to Brett Beach and said that this kid is really smart. And Andy Reid's been around a lot of smart quarterbacks. He will push you. He will press you. And so, again, you know, Patrick is so bright. And I think that people talk about the fact he may have a photographic memory because they have thrown a huge amount of the playbook at him from day one. His recall is great. His ability to process information is great. And when you see him going forward and just learning more and seeing more, it's scary to think about what he can become.
Jeffrey Chadiha joining us. All right, so in terms of developing quarterbacks, what do you make of what you saw from Lamar Jackson yesterday?
You know, I didn't think he did too bad. I thought what surprised me, because I had seen him play against the Cardinals the week before, was that they got into a position where they got down a couple scores still in the first half. They started dropping him back. And I don't know if they felt so confident in him as a drop-back passer at that point in terms of how he's developed that they could do that. But it definitely changed the way he played. He became a lot more hesitant and didn't look as confident. But when he is playing in the way they set that offense up for him to play, very similar to what Greg Roman, his offensive coordinator, did with Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, looks like a monster because you saw the moves in the open field yesterday. You didn't see the accuracy he had in the first 2 weeks, but that's there. I think that they got away from someone with the three tight end stuff. They weren't able to get Marquise Brown involved in that game, but that's going to be part of their game plan going forward. And I think he has made strides as a passer, and I think he is, you know, he's not at the same level as Patrick Mahomes, but he's getting to a place that's also pretty dangerous.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, when you look back now at all that talk about him being better as a running back or better as a wide receiver, I mean, it's such a joke. It's so wrong. When you look at last season and you look at the way he's playing right now, I mean, maybe not Mahomes good, but how good can he be? What is his ceiling?
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, you talk about all that talk about what he was going to be. Look at what Jalen Hurts is going through at Oklahoma right now and how his game has evolved. I think there are more quarterbacks who are going to look like Lamar Jackson going forward in this league. There are already a lot who look like him right now. You can look at Dak Prescott. You can look at Mitch Trubisky. You can look at Josh Allen, guys who can, you know, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson. You look at guys who can make plays with their legs and their arms. And what a lot of really smart offensive coaches are doing now is they're going and looking at college concepts and saying, let's use some of this stuff. We have guys who have unique skill sets, who maybe not traditional skill sets, but they can succeed in this way. And I agree with you. I think that a lot of people thought he couldn't be this kind of NFL quarterback that we're used to seeing. Well, maybe we have to change what we think an NFL quarterback needs to be going forward now.
Jeffrey Chadiha joining us. All right, so there have been reports, Jeff, that Kansas City might be interested in acquiring Jalen Ramsey. Based on your reporting, how serious is that interest at this moment?
Well, at the start of this whole thing, it really was lukewarm. I had reached out to a source in the organization who told me the day that news broke that they probably weren't going to make a run at him. They feel like their locker room culture is really strong. And that's not to knock Jalen Ramsey as a person who's never had off-the-field problems, but they know that if they bring him in there, one, it's going to cost them a lot of draft picks. They want, what, 2 first-round picks. That number supposedly, reportedly, has gone down to a 1 and a 3. I'm not sure about that. But still, they give up 2 more draft picks after you gave up a first and a second for Frank Clark. You would end up not having a first or a second round pick in this year's draft. It's a lot to give up. Then you have to talk about paying the guy. And you have Chris Jones in your locker room who's been waiting for a new deal patiently, tried to, you know, make some waves in the offseason by not reporting. But he's been a good soldier. They want to take care of him. I just don't see where how fiscally they can pay Jalen Ramsey what he would want, give up those draft picks, and feel good about going forward. So everything I've heard about it so far is that they're not ready to make those kinds of moves. I think personally, a guy like Patrick Peterson in Arizona makes a lot more sense, and I think they're a lot more high about the possibility of getting him at some point.
Jeffrey Chidiha joining us for a few more moments. So, Jeff, three games in, are the Chiefs the best team in the AFC, or does that honor still go to the Patriots until somebody beats them?
I have to go with New England. You know, I've had so many moments in the last 20 years where I said, okay, this is the end of the dynasty. It's over. They can't keep doing this. And they've won three of the last five Super Bowls. That defense is real. I think the fact that Bill Belichick is more involved after Brian Flores went to Miami to coach that dog crap team that I think is scarier now for opponents because he's more involved in it.
Right. Agreed.
So I really feel as if they're the best. They're the best overall team. Now the Chiefs have the best offense in football, but Belichick, you give them a great defense and you give them Tom Brady, they're tough to beat. I still like them number one.
All right, then finally, before the season, you did predict that the Saints and the Patriots would meet in the Super Bowl. That was obviously before Drew Brees went down. Almost no team can survive losing a Hall of Fame quarterback for an extended period of time. But when you look at how they handled their business on the road in a notoriously tough place to play in Seattle, is New Orleans possibly built to withstand this?
That was the most shocking game of the week for me because I thought at the very least it would be a close game that the Saints would lose. To go in there and pound them the way they did. Hats off to Teddy Bridgewater because he proved that he is still a guy who can do some things in this league. I think some people were really wondering what he could do. And look, that division is really, it went from being the best division of football to being the most mysterious because the Carolina Panthers are a mess right now. The Buccaneers have never found a way to get things going with Jameis Winston. And the Falcons are up and down. So if they can just tread water here, if they can get through, you know, 6 weeks at 3-3 or even 4-2, I think they're in good shape going down the stretch when Brees comes back.
He is an NFL.com senior columnist and NFL Network on-air talent, a Sports Emmy Award winner, and a good friend of this program, Jeffrey Chidiha. Jeff, it's great to have you back. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, man. Always a pleasure.
You too, Jeff. Great job. Well done. Miami's, quote, a dog crap team. Who's going to argue that point? Extremely well stated by my man, Jeffrey Chidiha. Setting up hour number two. Dear Van Smack, Michigan who? Signed Badger fans. John in Wisco. You know, there may have been some questions about Wisconsin coming in. They look dominant in their first two games, but, you know, the question being, who do they beat? Michigan? Beat them down. Questions about Michigan coming in. Like, they can't be that bad, right? This is year five. They've got their new offense. They're going to modernize that offense. Yeah, they survived Army, but it's early in the year. They'll show who they really are against Wisconsin. Well, they did. They showed who they really are against Wisconsin. They're not that good. I will have that for you, too. Meantime, let me go really back quickly, or really quickly, to last night's game and Aaron Donald. I mentioned that a lot of people still are coming for the Browns. And that I'm not jumping off that bandwagon yet. I'm just not. Until I have a reason to, I'm not. And instead of saying, this is what they did wrong, this is all the issues. And again, they've got a lot to clean up. I'm not saying they don't. But how about you give some credit to the Rams for showing up and grinding out that win? How about giving some credit to Aaron Donald? Like, I literally cannot get enough of this guy. And you cannot give this guy nearly enough credit, even if he's not looking for it. In fact, I'm not even sure I've seen a more humble, understated superstar than Aaron Donald. I mean, it's almost unsettling how grounded and how humble this guy is, given his outright domination. And hey, stat guy, not all stats truly show how dominant a player is. Has anybody ever seen a more misleading stat than Donald having only one sack through three games this season? This guy's in the backfield, ready to take the handoff before the running back is on nearly every single play. And even when he's not doing that, he's creating hell and havoc in the passing game. This guy's an absolute terror. I mean, I'm talking few guys in the history of the game can wreak the sort of havoc that he can. So give this guy a little more credit, because as much as he's getting, it's still not nearly enough. Pete Thamel coming up next hour. Open segment coming up next.